everyone, I'm Gypsy Rose Blanchard. So viewers will see in this season of Life After Lockup my struggles, the mistakes I made, how I handled myself. I'm excited about motherhood. I get to share with my child the things that I didn't get to experience as a child myself. And Ken and I grow as a couple, seeing how we navigate parenthood, seeing how we navigate our relationship. It's going to be great.
Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup. New episode Monday at 9, only on Lifetime.
Tired of listening to the same old playlists or podcasts over and over? Maybe it's time to mix things up. Try something new. Hit explore. Avoid the blah and the boring before you even put your headphones in. Add some fun in the mix. Say yabba dabba doo to a bowl of Pebble cereal and enjoy by the spoonful. Fruity and cocoa Pebble cereal. Less blah, more yabba dabba doo. Head to your nearest grocery store to buy Pebble cereal today. The Flintstones and all related characters and elements. Copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
Welcome to Hay Fever Season on Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid. Tina's just finished clawing her eyes out, and not because of me this time. So that makes a welcome change.
It's 50-50.
Okay, that's nice. I'm sitting in front of the window, looking out on a field of hay that's yet to be baled. Yeah. And Tina is going through an absolute nightmare with this right now.
I am. I'm very allergic to hay, grass, trees. So our country living situation suits me.
Full disclosure, this is the second time we've attempted to record this intro. So the first time we did it, Tina was full of life and telling me all about the hay fever test that she took, the sample that they did on her arm and how her arm went up like a balloon. She was so in it. Now she's just like, I'm over that. Now could it record it again? And I couldn't possibly do it again on cue. You're just not showbiz, Tina. That's what it is.
Like, okay, you're too mean.
No, I'm not being mean. I'm telling you that on Friday night, I witnessed you at the Olympia at your least showbiz. The reason why we are not performing at Electric Picnic, Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid episode, is because, Tina, you would have to agree, crowds aren't your friend.
I'm very shy.
Are you shy?
I'm shy.
You don't like the stage?
No. I'm forever saying to you, I don't know how you do this job. And you're always like, ho. And I really don't
I
know how you do it.
People cheering for me.
Yeah, I don't.
Saying,
I don't
go
like,
jar.
I don't even like someone saying hello to me sometimes.
I introduced Tina at the Three Olympia in Dublin for the sixth and final sold out night of the Your Man tour. Well, the
and
Dublin
my,
leg.
Yeah, my plan was to come on stage and say a few nice words to Jarlett and present him with something that MCD had given me to mark the occasion.
I said your name. They cheered.
I
could see
myself.
You in the wings going, oh no, this was a bad idea.
I crapped myself. I walked out onto the stage and I immediately started to feel like I was going to vomit. And I was shaking so terribly.
The place was really well lit. It's usually you'd just be looking out on darkness, but it was really well lit because we were filming the brand new stand-up special there that night.
I could see everyone.
Tina could see each and every face smiling and looking at her.
Yes.
All at once,
so I
clapping and cheering.
I threw the thing at Charlotte and
me,
ran off the stage.
Ran off. And I mean, I guess that's the presentation over.
I'm so sorry. I can't even pretend like I could have done a better job. I should have said from the start that someone from MCD needed to do it because I am not
when I
that
came
person.
Off stage, Tina said to me, you didn't stick to the plan. I didn't know there was a plan.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you talking about? I said, we'll figure it out. But I guess that's because when you do stand up, you don't really have a plan of any sort. Because a plan is the opposite of funny.
Yeah, like, you know, when they invited us to do the podcast at Let Your Picnic, I was like, absolutely no way.
I told them no straight away. Marion McKeown, on the other hand,
yeah, that's gonna
the
be cool.
Irishman
that's
in America favorite. Podcast will be at Electric
that's
Picnic.
Gonna be so cool.
And that is gonna be amazing, and Tina will be there at that.
Yeah, I'm
she
a watcher.
She might answer your parenting questions at the side of the stage.
I am a watcher. I love that you like being on stage. I just definitely don't
not
like it.
For me. Mm-mm. Not for me. But Tina did get in touch with somebody extremely famous this week. And you're not going to believe who. I'll give you a moment to pause the podcast and say to yourself who you think it is that Tina got in touch with. Maybe the most famous figure in children's entertainment today.
I had a mom say to me, if I could just get in touch with that person and they did something about this
thing,
maybe that would help their child. And I said,
I'll reach out. What?
I actually know someone who works
who
in
works
that.
There. Yeah.
I'm going to do that. And I did.
And she did. So if you want to hear who that is, you need to come over to patreon.com/Irishman.
I'm basically Santa Claus.
And hear the extended cut of our episode. We've only got about 4 episodes until the summer break. And that's when you'll be able to catch up on the ones that you've gone by or missed over the last few months. You get extra large size episodes over there, the full Irishman archive. And it is the only way we can continue to make the show. Full disclosure, this is membership system of a fiver a month for the people that can afford it is how the show gets paid for and made. You pop over there, a couple of clicks, Irishman Abroad Podcast at gmail.com is the email address. You get to hear much bigger episodes and you get to support the show. Failing that, give us a rating, a comment and a subscription on whatever platform you're listening to. We've got 3 great questions again this week. Tina, so why not get to it? To hear the number of kids in Emerald Park this weekend, we took Mikey to go on the Fianna Forge.
Yeah, you can hear them
Fianna Forge from our political office. Party.
Fianna Forge.
Fianna Forge. You can see it from our
forging.
House. It's absolutely like, you know, the old Celts and their roller coasters.
Yeah. I love Emerald Park. You know I do.
Yeah, well, you're completely converted.
I am.
Fianna Forge obviously relates to the ancient Celts and their love of roller coasters.
Yeah.
And how much wisdom they took from crafting rides for kids.
Yes.
And, you know, it was great educational value to the ride in that Mikey kept his eyes closed throughout. But the amount of little boss man kids that we heard everywhere.
Well, actual pure joy is to be heard over there. Sure. Although it's not as fun to enjoy from our house where we can hear them on the roller coaster all day long. But anyway, we'll forget about it.
I don't mind that too much.
I do. Sorry for
sniffling. I don't hear it anymore. Like, I used to live next to a railway line.
Oh, that's way worse. Sorry.
Yeah, so that was just like trains all day long. And that was head wrecking because it'd be through the night, you know, really close to the railway line.
In Kildare. Yeah. Trains went through the night.
Yeah.
They go to Kildare once a day, Jarlett.
Question number 1. Not making it up. Hi, Jarlath and Tina. We have a 7-year-old and a nearly 4-year-old girl. First time I read this, I said we have a 7-year-old boy who is nearly a 4-year-old girl. But that's a completely different episode. Both are very bright, but when we ask them to do something, they just ignore us. As a duo, I love that. You could have to repeat things 10 times. Oh. Before they seem to even hear us. Never mind, get them to do it. This is why I brought up the little boss man we witnessed dictating everything and then ignoring what they didn't want to hear. The boy also bites his nails and has had we've had no success in getting him to stop. We also have experience with this. Look. He still gets temper tantrums, particularly when tired or hungry, but they can happen at any time. Absolutely love the show. Thanks, Davey. Nearly gave away your name. Absolutely anonymous. Nobody's ever going to know who that was. What a great question to open the episode, because as we've been saying over and over again, summer is coming. It's like winter is coming in Game of Thrones. Summer is coming, lads. And you are going, right? We met a parent at Emerald Park who told us, absolutely dreading it. The summer.
Yeah, I know. Well, most parents are. It's a long time. Like, I can't get my friends in England to actually believe me that Mikey has 12 weeks off school.
12 weeks.
12
he
weeks.
He can't believe it.
Mikey's so happy.
He's like, I'm going to grow up a lot in this 12 weeks.
Yeah, he's like.
But, you know, I did think that there's one sentence in this that really stood out to me. But first, I want to hear what your take is on a 7 and 4-year-old that just won't listen.
Yeah, well, it's just a bad habit, isn't it?
Is that all?
It's a bad habit. They're in a bad habit.
Pretty willful.
Willful, but also just a habit that's formed, really. Like, they're in it together. They're both ignoring him.
Yeah.
Like, they both very consciously are like, don't mind that fella.
Mind that.
Don't mind that.
If you don't listen, so they won't ask again.
Sure, he'll just stop. He leaves you alone.
They'll
then.
Do it themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just a habit. And really, it's them having a lack of rules and clarity in that house. There's no, there doesn't seem to be any consequence for them not listening. you know. It's just that the dad goes, they didn't listen again. Whereas if kids know, if I don't listen, something's going to happen, they will listen.
They need a bit of fear in there.
No, not fear. What's expected of them? Not fear.
What's wrong with a bit of fear?
Oh, I don't think any kid should be fearful.
But like, I'm afraid if I don't listen to my mom that I'll lose something. I don't think that that's like, oh God, oh God, oh God.
It's more like there
should be fear of the consequence.
I think there should be respect for the consequence.
Okay, it's kind of splitting hairs a little bit. But
they're totally different attitudes towards the consequence.
Well, I think that a little bit of fear goes a long way. I mean, look at our relationship. Terrified to step out of line for fear of what might happen.
Yeah, yeah, you're shaking in your boots, Charlie Regan.
Yeah, that's always what the dictator thinks.
Oh my God.
No one's really afraid of me.
I think.
Little old me.
It's just a habit. And actually, this could be rectified so easily. Just start the family meetings.
Okay.
Have that first one where they think this is glorious. It's really comfy. It's got loads of snacks. It's just really sweet. And you talk about a lot of things. The dad gets time to air how it makes him feel when they ignore him. He might need to let his kids know that it actually hurts my feelings. You know, I'm trying to be a kind dad. I'm trying to be fair. And you're not meeting me halfway here. Let's set up some rules in our house. My rule is going to be that when I ask you to do something, you listen and do it. You know?
And with a four-year-old, is there a different standard to the seven-year-old?
No, I don't think so.
So there's no disparity of understanding in terms of...
In terms of listening? No, absolutely not.
What about the thing of the tantrums? Because that kind of suggests that there's more going on than just
tantrums,
not listening.
Tantrums happen more in a house where there's no rules and clarity.
Why?
Because the child doesn't really know what's expected of them, what's allowed, what's not allowed. That's why setting up the rules and letting them know what's okay and what's not okay is so important. Because a child who tantrums is really a child who's going, well, I'm just going to scream and shout until you cave. Whereas if they know that, well, this is the rule. I know what's expected of me. I know what's going to happen. I might scream and shout, but Dad's not going to do anything. He's not going to react. I'm not going to get away with it. That child will not tend to tantrum again the next time. They'll know it's a waste of their energy.
So with the summer, again, coming up, and we've often said this before Christmas.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you kind of nearly need to do a quarterly family meeting.
Yeah, I think it's really important. Before you go anywhere.
Yeah.
Definitely remind them of the rules. Don't presume your kids know what you're expecting of them. They don't.
Ever.
Especially a 4 and a 7-year-old. They need guidance. They need you to remind them.
I remember that when, like, Tina would always coach Mikey going into a place, right? She'd go, here's where we're going. Here's who we're meeting. This is what you're going to have to do when you walk in the door in terms of shaking hands, look in the eye.
Yeah.
Say thank you when we're leaving and whatnot.
And we will let you know 10 minutes before we're going, when we're going, and then you'll have to do this. And everyone would always be like, oh my God, Mikey's amazing. And we wouldn't be like, well, we've told him what to do.
Yeah, no, the fact was he was still doing it.
Yeah.
But people were shocked. Like, if you think you've got a problem with your kid being unmannerly going somewhere, just tell them exactly what to do.
You have to allow them, you have to model the behavior you want from your kids.
It is always funny, though, when people would go, how is he so mannerly? He's looking at us, like, where would he be? Where would he see that? I don't know. It's a mystery. I guess he watches a lot of mannerly TV shows. That's nothing to do with ye.
That's hilarious.
That was what we were told once. Yeah. It's like, now that has fuck all to do with you now.
Yeah. But like,
that's
just
who he is.
If you want your kids to do something, you have to show them. Like, that's what Montessori education is all about. The teacher, the director's in the room, takes the time to show. They completely... What's the word? Demonstrate the whole lesson the way it's supposed to be. And then the child gets to go away and do it independently because you've demonstrated how it should look. They have the opportunity to take in what's expected of them. You can't just tell. You got to show.
One of the things about the tantrums, though, that they even mentioned, this is the line that stood out to me. It's like sometimes it's when they're hungry.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're going to be expending way more energy across the summer. Is a snack table an option?
In the house.
The house.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. But also you need a jug of water on the go the whole time because sometimes in the summer months it can be hydration that makes them irrational, you know?
Yeah. It's also just the schedule, isn't it?
Yeah, and the harder to sleep, brighter nights, brighter mornings. They're not getting as much sleep as they used to. Grow blinds are unbelievably helpful, but not everyone can afford to have a grow blind, you know? Mm. But like it is a hard adjustment period, that sunshiny time.
Do you have any recollection of throwing a tantrum as a child, Gina? Like as a child, as opposed to the ones you throw as a grown-up?
I think I threw a few
when I...
She doesn't
even respond to that. She just looks into the distance.
I think I probably threw a few when I was a teenager, all right?
Oh, really? Over what? Oh, your birthday?
No, just over... I don't know.
I don't know why I assumed you threw a tantrum on your birthday. Sorry.
Over anything. I definitely remember stamping my feet a lot on the stairs. Yeah. And in the house we lived in, you had to get to a certain stairs really quickly because up until that stair, Mom could put her hand through and catch you.
Yeah, we had similar stairs.
Yeah.
And everyone was always trying to catch everyone's ankle.
Oh my God, it was a nightmare. Like, I still sometimes dream about that feeling of being caught on the stairs.
Could you slide down the banister?
No. Definitely not. You could slide down the banister, but you'd injure yourself a few times.
You could slide down our banister, and I remember if you did it side saddle.
Side saddle.
Where two legs are over one side. That was the safe way to do it. But putting one leg over it and sliding down it like a horse, like you're riding a horse.
Oh my God.
But then the end of the kind of stopper at the end would get you at the very bottom, so you had to... apply the brakes.
No, you definitely... There's no room on my stairs to be getting up to any of those shenanigans. You sound like a rich bloody, kid.
And then the help would come and dislodge the stair stopper from one's buttocks. Our second question of the show today is a doozy, and it relates to, I guess it's violation of privacy, the thing that goes out the window, just like sleep when your kids arrive. Yeah. Andy Samberg talking about how everybody says when you're pregnant, oh, it's wonderful, it's going to be amazing. And then the second the child arrives, it's like, welcome to hell. You're never going to sleep again. But privacy is one of those things. You just kind of offer up that I guess everything I own is going to be rooted through and have jam smeared on it.
Yeah, and especially
and special
moms.
Items that are my own, like either put them in storage.
Yeah.
And it's done. The boundaries are a thing. Mm-hmm. And that is what this question relates to. If you have a similar issue, we really want to hear from you, because this is as much about getting Tina's expertise from her 20 years in her job as hearing what's worked for you. But here we go. Tina and Jar, I have a very unusual one for you. Or maybe it's not that unusual. My child walked in on me shaving my downstairs, my lady garden, whatever you want to call it. I got caught by my child tending to myself. Now, why didn't I lock the door, you say? Well, my husband doesn't believe in locked doors in our house. Something to do with stuff that happened to him as a child. I fully respect it and understand it. We also don't want to have a situation where any child gets locked behind a door, as mentioned in a previous episode of your show. Long story short, the other morning, I am making myself neat and my little five-year-old boy bursts in the door and sees the whole show. I covered myself quickly, asked him to politely leave, and came downstairs. He doesn't have any questions about it, but I can tell he wants to talk about it. I feel like I can't bring it up, and I also feel that I need a key for that door. My husband won't go for that, and I feel like this won't be the last time. I should add, this has happened once before when I was getting changed. But again, nothing big came of that, because at the end of the day, I'm his mother. And of course, he's going to see me naked at some point in his life. Maybe my attitude's all wrong. Maybe you can give me some sort of steer on this as to how to speak to my child about what they saw and how to prevent this from happening in the future. Really, really love the show. Anonymous.
Okay, well, she definitely has to talk to her child, because a five-year-old boy is going to make that as big as you can imagine. And he is it's going to be the talk of the town.
Circle.
It is going to be reimagined.
I walked in on my mommy and she was scraping herself with a thing downstairs.
It's going to be reimagined and like hyperboled into something a million times worse than what he saw. So you definitely have to talk to him about it. Absolutely. Tell him what you were doing. Tell him it's completely normal. Normalize it.
But is it possible that she thinks he hasn't asked a question? He hasn't said a word.
Mm.
She's come down knowing that there was a lot for him to see there. But as far as he's concerned, he hasn't come out and asked. So it might actually be, he might just think mom was cleaning herself.
Even so, there's no shame in it. She has to be careful about introducing shame. There's no shame in what she was doing.
Hmm.
She shouldn't be afraid to mention it or talk about it. There's absolutely no shame. I do think the locks on the door is a bit odd, but fair enough if she's okay with that and that's something they've agreed on upon. But then they need to bring in a rule of knocking on doors before opening them.
Right, so you don't think it's odd to have no keys in any doors?
If that's something they've agreed to, I mean, that's their business in their home. I mean, you don't know what people get up to in their own houses or what rules they have. And if that's something that works for them, fair enough. But I think they have to be very clear that you do not walk into a room without knocking. Now, it's really odd and strange for children, because especially with their moms, because up until the age of maybe 3, sometimes 4, they are brought to the bathroom with their mothers. When the mom's having a shower, they're in the bathroom. So they've been like, you know, 5 is really the time when you push back a little bit as a mom and try and trust their kids to do their own thing while you have some privacy time for yourself. So the kid is still remembering going and doing everything with their mom anyway. So it's pretty normal for him to see mom, you know, showering or going toilet and stuff like that. But it is absolutely fine for the mom to want her space. I mean, you give up so much of yourself when you're a mom. You need to claw that space back. So I think if the knocking on the door doesn't work, and if the dad is anti-keys, why can't the mom compromise and get a latch very high up where no kid can reach it?
Mm.
Because she deserves her space.
Yeah. I just wonder about bringing it up if he hasn't brought it up. Like, you know, if you think it's totally normal, and it is, to do what she was doing, then I think that she might be projecting how embarrassed she is onto him. And that, you know, he probably sees dad with the razor all the time and just didn't think anything of it. But I guess we don't know if there was a whole rabbit in headlights.
Yeah.
You know when you get caught doing something and you both freeze?
Yeah, well, I hope she didn't hurt herself, because that's what I was imagining. Like, you know.
Jesus Christ. I know.
But like, I just feel like it's absolutely okay to have a rule in the house that you knock on the door before you open it. Because you model it by doing it to them.
Sure.
Before you go into their room.
Anybody's going to argue with that. But I guess I'm just, you think that, yeah, I don't think she should explain what she was doing.
Okay, well, I mean,
I think she should just say, hey, little buddy, whenever we go into a bathroom, we always knock, regardless of where we are. Inside this house, outside this house, you go to a cubicle, you knock.
Yeah, and I guess in that instance, when you say that, there's the opportunity for him to ask a question if he has one. But you got to be ready, because that day might come and you have to be ready. If you're not going to preempt it, you got to be ready to answer it when it happens, or explain to his teacher what the kid's talking about in class.
Do you think that dad doesn't take it seriously enough that she needs her space, and that maybe to show him how important space is, she should try and get one of the kids to interrupt him when he's in the bathroom?
Oh God.
Set him up, go now. Well, burst,
see,
in the door.
It like is unfair, because it's probably not happening to dad as much as it's happening to mom, because they're probably not thinking they need dad all the time. Like, kids tend to think, I need my mom all the time when they're that age. So it is a tricky one. But like, she should be allowed to have a latch on the door if there's no keys. Like, I mean, it doesn't seem fair to me, but fair enough if that's the way the house runs. But the knock on the door is an easy thing that'll actually help your child out. You're actually helping them, because they won't be a rude kid. They're going to be a conscientious kid who knows there could be something going on behind the door. I need to knock and check it's okay to come in.
She does sound a bit traumatized.
Yeah, well, I would be too.
What's the worst you've been caught or walked in upon?
The worst thing that's happened to me that way is when I was jocked in front of all my brother's friends.
Jocking, for those of you not living in Ireland, is the pulling, being pantsed.
Yeah.
Is the other term.
That was horrific.
So the whipping down of the pants.
Yeah.
And it was, you were in your pajamas.
No, I was in a pair of tracksuit bottoms.
And someone whipped down your tracksuit bottoms.
Yeah.
But you were wearing pants.
They went too.
Oh, God.
It was horrific.
Oh, God. No, I've totally got, I've been triggered here myself.
It was horrific. Basketball camp. Yeah, you had that at basketball camp, yeah.
But like, what age were you?
Oh, old enough. 14?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. There's no recovery.
No recovery. I cried for days.
Oh, my God. Tina, I'm so sorry I brought this up.
It was so embarrassing. I was like, that was the worst thing that's ever been done to me.
So basketball camp, they basically the same thing happens to me. I'm working as an RA, a kind of a helper coach at this basketball camp in Waterford. And in front of me talking to two young girls.
How young? One of the, same age as you.
They're all young. Jesus Christ.
You're young as well.
No, I was 17.
Oh,
and
God.
The kids this there were 13, 14, 15, 16.
Oh, my
16.
God.
So
oh
I had just graduated
God.
From the thing to being a helper. And the older lads and I got on well because we're only one age apart, right? One year apart. And one of them from Donegal, I think, class. I'm gas crack. I whipped his pants down, jocked him.
Yeah.
And the pants went too.
Oh, my God.
And I can remember my schlong blowing in the wind. I can remember the look on the girl's face when it happened. Her looking down, her looking up at me and covering her face. Me having to wrangle everything. Like, pull
that's
everything
horrific.
Back up. And just, like, there was just no recovery. There's just no recovery, like... I wanted to go home. I wanted to just leave.
Yeah, that's horrific. That's worse than mine. I was at home. I had nowhere
but
to go.
There was always people walking indoors that they shouldn't have been walking into when we were kids. I remember an exchange student girl deliberately walking in on me getting changed. When I was only 7.
Oh, my God.
And she thought it was gas to flick the door open as I was getting changed. And I was just like, you're horrible. You're not a nice... But everyone has such positive experiences of French exchange students, right, guys? I think your advice is great on this. It is about teaching your kids to knock on doors.
Yeah.
Like keys probably, it's probably a normal thing, isn't it? For people not to have keys indoors at that age.
I think when kids are small, it's normal enough, isn't it? Sometimes they put those little hooks on the top of the door and you just put the key up. But I don't think there's anything wrong with having a very high up latch.
Yeah.
Like mummy deserves to be able to have a shower in peace.
And again, there's nothing wrong with shaving the old chocha either.
Chocha. Chocha.
It's our final question of the free episode. Of course, there's more where we will reveal who it is that Tina got in touch with and got a miraculous response from, which is even better, over on patreon.com/Irishmanabroad. Here we go. Question number 3. Hey, Tina and Jar, heard you saying something sometimes that on the podcast, it's not just parents who are getting in touch. So I have a question on behalf of someone else. This is cool. Family member of mine is really struggling with her two daughters come bedtime, and I'm hoping from this post I can pass on some things, as it's absolutely heartbreaking to see her struggle. She is a single mother of two daughters aged 5 and 2, and come every single night she will have the same routines every evening up until their bedtime. She puts them to bed at 7 p.m. every night and then goes to sit down to relax and have some time to herself. Then, within 10 minutes of being put to bed, up to around 10 o'clock, they constantly get up and get out of bed, playing in their rooms. They're going in to her room, playing with her things, or just messing in the bathroom. She's tried many, many things to try to encourage them to stay in their beds. However, nothing has been successful. She's constantly up and down the stairs, putting them back to bed, getting more and more tearful each time. So I am hoping someone can give some sort of advice or anything that has worked for you personally if you've ever been through this. Thank you all in advance.
So she's talking directly to our listeners.
Yeah. But
that's a desperate person.
Yeah, but like I also know that the person in that situation doesn't have time to send the email.
No.
Or do I have the headspace?
But we heard that. It's interesting that it's an observer that has emailed in, because she gave us the key thing we need. And that is, how is mommy reacting in those moments? And she revealed mommy is getting tearful. So mommy is showing way too much emotion in those moments. And it's such a hard thing not to show. But in order for it to work, you have to stay
stoic.
No eye contact, no emotion, no speaking. not being unkind, never being unkind, but just not giving them the attention they are craving for. Now, it's really hard, but every time those kids get up, mommy has to bring them back to bed in silence, pop them back into bed, tuck them up, leave the room. They're looking for the reaction. They're getting a buzz of the reaction. Now, there's loads of things we can do to try and make bedtime a better experience for this mother. First of all, there needs to be a wind down period. There has to be. There has to be a set routine every night for these kids. So they know supper is at 6:45. We get our supper, we get to watch a little cartoon, something, you know, on one of the cartoon channels.
Yep.
When the cartoon is over, they know it's time to go upstairs. They go upstairs, they brush their hair, they brush their teeth, they get into their pajamas. Mommy comes in. Hopefully mommy has time to read a story. If she doesn't, we're living in an amazing age where you can put on an audiobook. Having a child having a story or a meditation going to bed is so important. You give them a cuddle, you tell them you love them. You tell them it's time to go to sleep in their own room now. They need to stay in their own bed and you will see them in the morning. Okay, for the first few nights, these kids are going to test you. They're going to keep getting out of bed. You have to stay so stoic. Just keep bringing them back to bed, putting them into bed, tucking them in, giving them a kiss on the cheek and leaving the room.
Easier said than done.
Easier said than done. And you've got to be ready to do it too. Because if you break, you're back to square one. But what will happen is they will get bored. They will get so bored.
Yeah, it's less crack to get up than it is to go to bed and enjoy your dreams. Yeah.
And soon, if you stick with this, if every time they get up, you just bring them back up, put them in bed, all in silence, you're not being unloving. I'm never saying that. You still give them the hug, you give them the kiss, you just don't talk and you don't give them eye contact. You leave the room. Every time you do that is a success, because soon then they'll associate this lovely bedtime routine and they'll know I'm expected to stay in my bed all night.
Right, right. So how do you deliver that to
a friend
without sounding like you're, I've got all the answers, I know I don't have kids, but I know from listening to this podcast what you need to do?
Well, I think because she's a single mom, she needs that friend to be there to help her through this. Because when you have a partner in the house doing this with you, every time you come back down and you're ready to break, they're there to give you a hug.
Yeah, and take the baton.
And say, well,
If needs be,
take the baton. But really, you have to stay true to it yourself. But they're there to say, you did it.
You're doing
great. It's so hard. Mm. Keep going. So this friend actually probably needs to say,
I've
heard this thing. I'm willing to give up my time and come over and try and do this with you. It's probably going to take a whole week. But I'm here for you. Let's try and get through this together. Let's see
You're
if we can get your time back.
You're a good friend. I definitely not do that for any of my friends.
You're
so weak at their house.
Yeah, well, you'd hope that you'd break that in 3 days, you know?
Oh, reckon.
I hope so. With a 5 and a 2-year-old, I mean, they're so smart.
Yeah, and they're so weak-willed.
And then obviously it's really important when they have slept here the whole night. And in the morning, you don't say, well done, you're sleeping through the whole night. But you say things like, I'm so proud of you getting a full night's sleep. You look like you've got loads of energy today. You know why? Because you gave your body the sleep it needs last night. You're growing. Look at you. Yeah. Like, really give them that kind of praise. Make them feel really good about themselves.
You're so much fun when you've had a great night's sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
I get really good crack out of you.
You're not as crabby.
You're not a little tyrant.
But what a lovely friend to care.
Great friend.
Because so many moms, and single moms, like, I don't know how they do it. When you used to go away and I'd be on my own in England with Mikey, every time you came back, the guilt I would feel... Are you okay, honey?
Yeah.
The guilt I would feel that Mikey's dad got to come back when I knew I had friends who, they never got the respite. They never got that moment of, oh, it's not just all on me anymore. Single moms are fucking legends. I don't know how they do it, but they really need support. So well done, this friend being so good to her.
In the extra part of today's conversation with Tina, I have a big question, one that you're gonna want to hear the answer to.
I always get so frightened.
Well, it's not one that you'll be frightened by, because you're the absolute queen of this. How do you keep the head? How do you not blow your top with your kids? This goes from toddlers right up to teens. We're going to get Tina's top three tips to keep your cool when your kid's pushing you to your limit. You're going to need this for this summer and beyond. It's all over on patreon.com/Irishman Abroad. As I said, a couple of clicks, $5 a month, you'll be paying for the people that can't afford to do it. And in that way, we'll keep this podcast going and rolling into 2024, 2025. Tina, a few episodes left to the summer, and I can't wait for people to hear the most unbelievable person that you got in touch with this week who got back to you. You'll need to come over to Patreon to hear that. Thank you so much, Tina.
Thank you, darling.
Hey everyone, I'm Gypsy Rose Blanchard. So viewers will see in this season of Life After Lockup my struggles and mistakes I made, how I handled myself. I'm excited about motherhood. I get to share with my child the things that I didn't get to experience as a child myself. And Ken and I grow as a couple, seeing how we navigate parenthood, seeing how we navigate our relationship. It's going to be great.
Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup. New episode Monday at 9, only on Lifetime.